Five, four, three, two, one. I'm John Miglosh for the WDMA. And we're still in business today. And we're going to be talking about self-checkout and some really great aspects of direct mail tracking. That will be coming up next. But first, let's have a little bit of fun. Here we go from YouTube.
Listen, I can help you. How many bags do you need?
Just one.
Put the basket on the machine, press OK, scan the item, put it in the bag, scan the second item, put it in the bag, press OK. Now put on this uniform.
I'm sorry?
Put on the uniform. You get two breaks and a lunch, but don't leave without notifying your supervisor.
No.
And don't punch in until you're fully dressed and ready to start your shift.
I don't want a job here.
That attitude's gonna get you nowhere. You start tomorrow morning, 8 a.m.
I can't. I've got hot yoga.
Well, I'm sorry. You're already in the schedule.
Couldn't someone cover for me?
You just started. That's gonna look really bad.
You're right. That will look bad.
And don't be late. You only get one warning.
One warning?
And cover up that body ink.
That's a rash.
Like that's better.
Your local grocery store. You're practically working for us now.
Okay. I thought that was pretty clever. I had just a plethora to choose from, to be honest about it. Okay, so let's get over to the news. If I can figure out how to run things anymore. It's been so long since I did this. I did a little survey on the LinkedIn channel on Saturday. As a retail customer, what do you think of self-checkout? The number one answer was, saves me time and money. Great. Okay, I use it at the Piggly Wiggly all the time, right? And I do talk to the people. But I found out that, you know, I really didn't like people very much, so I could have marked this one down. And I do miss a little bit of the help and joking around, you know. Whenever I have, like, controlled substances, you know, I always walk up to the counter and say, are you old enough to check me out? And then I laugh. It's one of those things. My daughters just cringe when they go shopping with me. But when you're old and gray, you can say whatever you want. And even we got some votes. It's just a short passing fad. And that was a little shocking to me, actually. And we got some also great comments. And I really got, I mean, you could almost say I probably got five times more impressions from LinkedIn, as I've been following impressions for about a year now. And it's really murder, because some of my best posts don't get many and stuff like this gets tons. But here's from Mary Sissy Patton, and she has 30,000 LinkedIn connections or followers or something. And she's got Dial a Daughter Concierge Service, which I thought was funny because we got three daughters. And, you know, you call them up and they don't want to talk and stuff. And I'm guessing that Mary will talk to you and give you the kind of friendship a daughter's supposed to. I do have some pretty good relationships with some of my daughters, I have to say. And they do call me up. But anyway, that aside, I believe it should be the opposite and have a full-blown customer line for people requiring extra care or conversation. And so it could be conversation with the people in the checkout, you know, your cashiers, or it could be with the people in line. That would be okay too, right? Frankly, I find it outrageous that people don't have a teller at the front of the store. That's the way it is at the True Value. And I think on purpose they put the young ladies at the front of the store. I always have to watch out how I say things. But they're always very helpful, and they don't mind old guys. I try to get my daughters to work there. I said, you'll meet lots of guys. She said, yeah, old guys like you. Anyway, customer service, Mary writes, is imperative. Know your demographic. Okay, so that was a good comment. I don't work here. Is from Patricia, and we were on a couple of Zoom calls together. I remember Patricia. Although I've been in some where it was the only option. Right, exactly. So she agrees that she doesn't have to work at the store. She's not. And Stu says he doesn't. He was at Cobbs and Draft, one of the early guys there, and he says he doesn't use it. Well, you know. Okay, so I found this other article, which I thought was actually excellent. It was in Retail News just today. And Nicole Silberstein says that it's here to stay. But there's been headlines like self-checkout is a failed experiment, why retailers are losing faith in self-checkout. They've been plentiful in the last months, and Target, Walmart, Dollar General, and Costco are supposedly ditching the tech. Okay, but self-checkout is largely a win for retailers. Okay, so retailers have a big challenge. Their number one challenge might be hiring enough people and keeping them. Okay, now the Piggly Wiggly, we have the same checkout ladies since I was probably a kid. You know, I go over there. I saw two friends from high school yesterday at the Pig. Plus, once they got these things, it cost them $30,000 per kiosk to install those babies, which may or may not include the cost of the machinery, according to a study. And 96% of the food industry offer self-checkout at some level. Okay, meaning that, you know, it's coming. Self-checkout shrink can outweigh the benefits. Okay, now, I didn't know what that meant. But what it means is that it's easier to steal from a self-checkout kiosk than it is from an actual checkout lady. 16 times more shrink than traditional cashier lanes. But that's only part of the story. And what shrink is accidentally or intentionally making off with extra products or paying less than what was owed. Someone told me once that they had a bag of pistachios but ran the scan for peanuts or something. Something like that. And, you know, if nobody's watching very, very, very carefully, I suppose you could. This was years and years ago. I don't know if you could anymore. And so some of the Costco, for example, is adding more humans to the self-check areas, primarily to verify that people aren't sharing memberships, which I thought was interesting. I have my member friends buy me Costco card, gift cards, so I can try it out. You know, the problem I have with a Costco card, which I did have for years, was like the last time I actually went there with the card, I went in for some pecans for my wife's Christmas cookies and came out with a big screen TV. It was too hard to pass up, but it wasn't very good. Didn't look very good. Anyway, so retailers are caught between a rock and a hard place. Labor continues to be expensive, and there are high levels of attrition. 54% of frontline workers quit after the first 3 months in the job, probably because they have to deal with people like me. Savings on the labor costs, according to Ahol Dehazi, are higher than the potential downsides. So there is a lot of incentive for some use of this. Okay. And actually the tech has been around since the late 80s. And now they've got computer vision products that if you had a loose bag of apples and the computer vision is able to at least narrow it down to a couple of different types of Fuji or Granny Smith, there's too many types of apples. I can't keep it all straight. When I was a kid, there was Macintosh and Delicious, which aren't delicious, but that's what they called them. The new self-checkout solution at Aldi that they're testing is called Checkout Free Experience. I don't know. My wife was fuming the other day because the Aldi she visited, which wasn't a normal one, only had the self-checkout, and there was a big backup line, and that is one of the big problems. Peter Stewart from one of the payment solutions says he thinks biometrics are going to play an important role. Not with me, hun. I think it's great that I can bonk my credit card on the screen, and it figures it all out. They've made major progress on that. So maybe it'll be okay. And there are other ways shrink can happen called sweethearting where you and the cashier get in cahoots when it's a friend or family behind the counter. And you can, with high tech, you can maybe catch that fraud. Who knows? So the conclusion is that humans are still essential to the technology, which is probably true. The future will likely be marked by hybrid experiences. Okay, so now let's get over to Mike Gunderson, who has another great episode here. This was a podcast, okay, hosted by Lindsay Weisgerber, And she had a great voice, and I thought, is this really Lindsay from Gunderson Direct? It sounds like a fancy voiceover person. Really good voice. Anyway, so I was right away, I was a little suspicious on this podcast. So she asked Mike to explain the importance of unique offer codes in direct mail. And right off the bat, Mike said there are several ways, which didn't actually match up with what was asked. But anyway, crucial to be prepared to capture the unique offer codes. That's really important. I don't know how many times we put the codes on the printed material, sent it out, and you know, the phone bank wasn't ready. There wasn't a field to put it in. We were writing count 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, shit, like that on sheets of paper or something as a backup solution because we weren't ready. Or almost as often, we forgot to put them on the printed piece. You know, in the old days, we would run a string of numbers like a code like green and like the word green, and then we would have a string of numbers and it would go 9876543211 green. And so if you read it that way, you could ask the customer, what's the last number? What's the color in the last number on that string of numbers? And let's say we were doing an nth split, which is like a tenth or a fourth or half, but we'd still call it an nth, every nth name of the image. But so one of the things we could do is we would run a 10,000 run, keep track roughly, and then erase the 9. And then we'd run another 10,000, erase the 8, and we'd work our way back. And that way we didn't have to do plate changes, right? Or if we completely forgot, we might take a big magic marker and just go down the side of the printed material. You know how it'll bleed in there, you know, with a nice new big fat magic marker, and go right down there, permanent marker, and we got a red one, and we got a blue one, and we got a green one on whatever pieces, you know, or a drill press. You can just take a drill, you know, one of those industrial kinds, just drill right down through a whole stack of them. And so, you know, if you drilled, and then we would build a template. And if the hole was here, that was piece A. And if the hole was down here, it was piece B. And over here, it was piece C. I don't know if Mike even knows any of this stuff, because Mike is a new kid, you know. And so his answer right off the bat was recommending a dedicated URL. Yeah, this is all before we even had telephones. I was talking with somebody yesterday, and AT&T didn't want to give them a 1-800 fax number because the conversations were too short, and they thought it would cost money. They'd rather have people call the call center. Man, I've been through a lot of tech changes here. Okay, unique offer codes, always good. Unique offer codes, it always comes down to unique offer codes, except, you know, if you incentivize the people who are collecting the codes, a lot of times they will just keep using the same codes over and over and over. One time I caught a whole staff doing this on one of my clients because I was looking at the codes, and all of a sudden most of the codes were from like a year ago, and they had just remembered them or had written them down on a post-it note on their screen. So you got to be careful how the whole process has to be ready. And that's one of the things Mike, I think, is getting at, right? And what about those who respond by phone? He says you should have a direct mail only phone number. And, you know, we used to do stuff like ask for Sally. Or ask for Jane or ask for Mary or whatever. And there might not even be a Mary or a Sally or a Jane. But that was, instead of asking them to give you a code, it was, and this even works for radio or TV. You don't have, you know, instead of having them try to remember that, you know, for the special offer, ask for Sally or whatever. And you can do a different voiceover. It's really an easy way to get codes into slightly different mass media, okay? Back in the day when we answered the phone. Okay, so I read somewhere, if somebody touches their face, they're lying. Well, I'm not lying, but for some reason, my nose itches. It's probably allergy season. Okay, any tips for companies setting up unique offer code structure challenges. And the truth is, it's always challenging. Mike falls back on key codes, add keys, he calls them, and we can still test with that. And a lot of times that's the best option if you have small quantities. You know, you can't just do all kinds of fancy stuff if you're only mailing 5,000 pieces and you're trying to do a split test. That's just not much, okay? Not worth setting up a lot of stuff. Okay, what about physical stores? Well, you can have them bring in their unique offer codes. They can bring their coupon. You know, at the True Value, they had this snazzy thing where you could sign up your cell phone and they would text them to you and you get a QR code and they try and put it on the scanner and then it wouldn't work and then they'd have to look up your number and they didn't have any place to look it up and it was a mess. But now it's pretty snazzy. Now you tell them your last name or your phone number and they say, oh, you have two coupons on file. Now, I like getting them in the mail. I remember that I have one, but I don't bring it with me and stuff. So it's a nice system. Okay, it gets captured at the point of sale, which is seamless and effective. Now there's some other test options, like you can match back on the credit card. For Lovesac, the customer ID was their credit card number, and so we could tell if they were buying a retail or they were buying on the web or they were calling in the call center. We could also tell if they were buying a retail in Florida and also in Milwaukee. And so that was very, very helpful. If, you know, you could use a customer phone number that way. And that gives you a way to test across and to see the purchases of particular customers that you know you mailed or you didn't. And that gets to the next one, which is a matchback test. Matchback tests, you say, okay, we know these are the people we mailed. So did they order or not? And they might have ordered on the web. If you can do this with the credit card as the customer ID or something like that, you can do these they could order a number of places, but we know who got mailed. And that's another way. And you can see which offer they were mailed. And you can credit it that way on the back end. And that's the way most of the big mailers do it these days, actually, to be honest. As they do matchback analysis, which also lets you do holdout analysis. So if you have a retail store or you have lots of social media or omni-channel marketing and you want to see the impact of mail, what you do is you say, okay, well, we were going to mail 150,000, but let's only mail 120,000. We'll leave 30,000 out and we'll see if mail is really giving us the incremental lift that we need to justify the extra cost per customer. And what you find is it always does, right? But what you do is you say, okay, so we, and you got to be careful. Like in Lovesac, we forgot that some people had a house in Florida and a house in Milwaukee. And so we might suppress one, but we mail the other one. And then they order anyway, even though they were a holdout test and it would muddy up the muck. And so we had to do the match back a little more carefully and say, okay, if we held them out anywhere, no, didn't work. Anyway, we redid it. So this is why if you ask Mike, it's still an art. There's an art to this. You can't get away from it. You can also do market tests. Okay. You say, well, we're going to cut out the mailings in Cincinnati only to those stores. When Nordstrom's cut out mailing their coupons, right, to their preferred customers, they cut them all out. They said, well, we'll just email them. And store traffic went thunk down to nothing. Okay, what they should have done is they should have either cut out half the customers at all their stores or cut out some stores to see what would happen. And that's always a principle. If there's no control, it's not a real test. And that's the lesson for today. Thank you again, Mike. Oh, and then, but I thought, you know, Mike, that he just didn't do very well. He should stick to writing articles. And then I heard at the end of the show, the voices you heard on this episode are generated by artificial intelligence based on real individuals. And I just burst out laughing. Stick to the real, Mike. It's so funny. I know you think this might be a robot, but it's not. Okay, that's why I keep giving you my genuine face-to-face video live stream, even if you want to make comments, see if anybody made any comments. No. If you want to test me out, make some comments, and we might get back to you. Have a great day. Like and share. Your friends will know you're smart. Bye-bye.